This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Tim are with you. Now, Tim, prep is well and truly a topic of conversation amongst the communities.
Yes, very much so. We've already had some feedback already based on one of our Facebook posts.
Oh, okay.
And this seems to be pretty typical, I would think, Steve. Honestly, it concerns me that it seems to promote unsafe sex. I don't know if I'm missing the point entirely here, but it's not the fix it's being made out to be, and it's not 100% effective. I'm worried that the promotion of PrEP seems to come at the cost of all education surrounding safe sex.
Well, Steve Spencer is, as we said before, a bit of the voice and the face of PrEP here in Melbourne to some degree.
Yes, I think my skin's going to be going blue soon. The face of PrEP. I'm now the walking blue pill.
So that sort of comment, how do you respond to the comment that came through?
Oh, look, that's a comment we get a lot, and a perfectly valid comment. And the awesome thing that this demonstrates is that people are actually thinking deeper about it. And that's basically what we want. At the end of the day, that's what I want people to do, is to think about it and to consider if it's right for them. Now, to address the actual concerns that this commenter has, like he says, like it's not the fix that we're making it out to be. And it's like, no, the only thing it's promoting is protecting from HIV. And its official efficacy in a lab environment is 99%.
Yep.
Which, yes, it's not 100% effective. 99% is not 100%. But in other studies and trials where someone takes it as prescribed, there's not been a single recorded seroconversion. So there hasn't been a single failure of it. The only time it fails is when people don't take it properly.
And so the commenter also made a claim around it not being safe. As you said, a lot of it's being done in the labs at the moment, a lot of the testing. And we're only here, at least here in Australia, only just starting to test it. And in the States, where it's been around for a bit longer, it's still only, what, a couple of years old, really?
Well, Truvada itself, yep, and the drugs that make that up have been consumed by gay men, positive gay men and women and whatnot, for 15 years. So there's 15 years worth of data on human consumption. Now, for its use as a pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is what PrEP stands for, yes, there's only 4 or 5 years of data on that, but the science is in. So that's, you can't really argue with that. The trials that are on here are purely social demonstration projects. They're not even trials. It's sort of just to see how it's taken by people, how people react to it, that sort of thing. So we already understand the efficacy.
So what is the difference between Truvada for people who are HIV positive and take it as a way to keep their viral loads low or non-existent, and for someone that's taking it as PrEP, what is the difference when it's the same drug?
There's very little difference. I mean, for people living with HIV, they might take Truvada as a combination, in a combination with other drugs. Some are lucky enough to be on the single pill, but a lot are on multiple. But then its use as obviously as pre-exposure, it's avoiding it, as opposed to when the virus is already inside the body. So,
sure.
And then the other comparison is with PEP. So there's PrEP, and then there's PEP, and then there's taking it as a treatment. And it's all essentially the same thing. But there are very little differences at a medical level. But I mean, at a mental level, there are huge differences.
Sure, of course.
For anxiety and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, but there's actually very little realistic difference.
Now, I've personally never taken PEP. Or PrEP, but just on PEP though, and you hear stories that PEP was horrid, that you go through all these symptoms and it just is yuck for a month. What was your experience assuming you've used PEP before. What was your experience with PEP?
Well, not just with my own experience, but from experiences I've heard of other people, and then also data is gathered on people's experiences with PEP and PrEP. And a lot of the time, I mean, when starting a new drug, you're going to get some sort of a side effect. With people starting on Truvada initially, some people, not a majority of people by any means, will get a bit of nausea. There might be a bit of a tummy ache, and that's pretty much the extent of it. There have been other studies, broader studies, not just on this, but studies onto other medications. And when a medication is highly stigmatized, there are certain cases where, you know, that flu that you got a couple of days before you started taking it, you might blame that on the drug. Now, I'm by no means saying people are making up their symptoms, but people also need to be more aware of their broader health and not immediately jump to conclusions about, you know, blaming it on this drug. We're seeing that a lot with PrEP. People get quite anxious about starting this new drug. And so that can result in all sorts of other things.
Because some of that anxiety might be because they had a bad experience, in inverted commas, with PEP.
Yes, and with PEP, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I'm sure every time we've had like a little bit of a cough,
yes,
we say, oh, it's HIV.
And, yeah.
You know, we've all had that sort of scare. And it's by no means that. And that's, you know, that's often the case. That's just the way that normal people react to these sorts of things.
Has it gone? So what's been your experience of using PrEP?
I was very lucky. I didn't even get any initial symptoms. I was fine. I had a headache one day, but that was just from having too few many drinks.
Yep.
So I was not going to blame that on.
And it's interesting. I think you're probably the fourth or fifth person we've had in over the last 6 to 12 months who's on, particularly on the PrEP study here in Victoria.
Well, I'm not on the study.
Oh, you're not on the study.
I'm
okay.
Accessing it privately.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that then. Mm-hmm. But even those that are on the study, same experience as you, they haven't really had any symptoms or any reaction, I should say, to the drug.
Absolutely. And people who start it and don't have any sort of adverse reactions or anything don't make a Facebook status about it, being like, oh, hey, I didn't get a headache today.
you wouldn't think about it.
We only hear about the bad stories. Yeah. So we all need to sort of take that into context and into consideration, when especially like there are a lot of online discussion groups and forums on PrEP, and you'll only hear the bad stories. You'll see commenters being like, I don't think that ingrown toenail is caused by PrEP.
And in terms of sexual behaviour, what's been the feedback? Have people changed the way that they have sex, or has it largely remained the same in terms of using a condom and all of that sort of thing?
Well, that was the second concern of that commenter that you mentioned earlier on a Facebook post that you made, is unsafe sex. And this has all sorts of big, as gay men, there are so many historical and contextual issues that we sort of need to consider with unsafe sex. You sort of have to step back and say because the assumption is that people are going to have more unsafe sex. And when we say that, we mean condomless sex.
Yes.
Once they start PrEP. Now, none of the trials globally have shown that, but then again, we know that a trial environment isn't exactly real life.
Sure.
But yeah, broadly, we have no evidence that people will actually change that. Personally, I've actually probably used condoms a little bit more since I've been on PrEP. Mainly,
why is that?
Mainly because if I use it intermittently, so if I...
You use PrEP intermittently?
Yes. Yep. If I go for a period without it, I absolutely insist on condoms. Whereas previously, I had a lot of broader strategies outside of condoms to avoid HIV and STIs, mainly to avoid HIV. That worked very well for me. But now that I've had sort of the gold standard of protection, which is PrEP, nothing else seems quite as good. So I now take actually probably less risks. But that's just my own anecdote, like that's my own experience. But for me personally, I was always an at-risk individual, and so I saw myself as the ideal sort of person to go on it. In that, I spent 5 years of going to sexual health clinics, being told next time you come in, you are going to be HIV positive. And when you're an 18-year-old, you know, fag just out of the closet, that's not exactly what you want to hear. And I sort of said, no, I'm going to continue to have sex that I want, but I'm going to also own my sexual health and do what I know works best for me.
Sure.
That involves strategies like using undetectable viral load, really using negotiation strategies strongly, even basic things such as pulling out and that sort of stuff. I mean, I never threw caution to the wind. I was always very, very sure of the situations I went into. So if anyone here, if anyone listening enjoys bareback sex, which is what we're talking about, you know, there are so many things that you can do, and you should definitely strongly consider PrEP because that is the greatest protection.
So it's really just another strategy.
Absolutely. It's another tool in our belt, and by no means is it necessary for everyone, and we don't want it. We don't want everyone to go on it. It is medicating yourself, and, you know, it's a big deal. And a lot of people don't necessarily want to have sex without a condom because having sex without a condom does expose you to other STIs, even though sex with a condom already exposes you to STIs as well.
Sure.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Tim with you.
We Good are evening.
Chatting with Stephen Spencer about PrEP.
Hey.
Now, Stephen, just before the break, we were talking and you made a comment, which I was going to bring up anyway, but you did very well at saying it anyway, saying that you, paraphrasing, you're always sure about the situation you're going into about having sex. Is it a case that PrEP is only good for yourself?
If PrEP is just good for yourself?
Yeah.
No, goodness no. PrEP, at an individual level, is fantastic for your own health.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic for your partner and your partner's partners. It's fantastic for the community. It's you're doing your bit to remove your risk of HIV almost totally if you take it as prescribed and continue to take it. You're contributing to the end of HIV here in Victoria. That's a big deal.
Because saying that, and the reason I'm asking that, and it's linked to what you said before about being sure about the situation you're going into, is that PrEP, if you're taking PrEP and I'm not taking PrEP and we're fucking, I need to know that you're on PrEP and that you, well, I would assume that you were on PrEP and you're taking it properly. There's a level of trust that needs to be built.
Of course, and there's...
And if you could say you're on PrEP, but you may not be on PrEP.
Yes, this is true. But people can lie about anything. People can, you know, there are cases of people lying about their serostatus. There are cases of people lying about when they last got tested. The amount of times I've got gonorrhea from someone who said, oh, no, I got tested like a week ago. It's fine. I have nothing. It's like, which is fine. I mean, there's no shame in getting STIs. Everyone gets them. Like,
yep.
It's a normal part of the human condition. But still, sex in general always involves trust. And I think the point that I was making with always being sure of the situation I go into is that that's a personal rule for me, in that if I'm not 100% comfortable, if I'm going to be leaving the situation with any regret at all,
yep,
I should not enter that situation, because sex has to be 100% enjoyable. You should just love it. It should be amazing. And if there's any anxiety at all, like, either you need to double check, you need to talk with your partner. Like, I mean, the amount of times I've been in a beat or in a sauna or whatever and talk my jaw off about STIs and whatnot, making sure I know the full lowdown. I mean, sure, it's not very sexy, but like, let's try and make it sexy, because it's when you don't talk, which is when risks are made.
I guess there's those situations as well when you go into those sexual situations and then afterwards you think, oh, what I did was a bit risky and I'm a bit worried. I better go and get a test at the doctor. But I guess if you're on PrEP, you wouldn't be as anxious about that?
Absolutely. And PrEP, for a lot of people, removes the anxiety. Before, I was very happy with the way I was protecting myself. This is just an added layer of protection. And for a lot of people, that's the case. A lot of people use condoms fully. But in the case of slip-up, because, you know, I mean, if you're affected by alcohol or other drugs, you never know what might happen in the situation. And by taking PrEP, you're removing the moment of responsibility from that moment of deep passion, or perhaps fogged by alcohol or other drugs, and taking your HIV prevention to a sober period. So like, I take mine with my breakfast. And, you know, at that point, I'm usually not drunk. I mean, on the weekend, I was a bit when I woke up for breakfast. But that you're taking the time of protection to a very responsible period, and that's definitely a huge benefit. And so that adds that extra layer of protection. But then again, it doesn't protect you from other STIs.
That's true.
You mentioned before, though, that you hadn't been 100% compliant. Mm-hmm. Was there particular reasons for that? You not having sex for a while, or was it a deliberate decision, or other factors?
Well, because I import it privately, there's a 3-week importation period, which can sometimes blow out to 4 weeks. It can sometimes come in 2 weeks. So this is another argument as to why we need it on the PBS, is because we need it available affordably, if not for free, here in this country, so that it removes that risk. So yes, there have been periods where I haven't had it accessible to me, and during those periods, that's when I have sex with condoms, as I said.
So just can you just explain a little bit about how you get it online?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, if anyone wants to check it out, there's a really great step-by-step guide, and I saw you guys had it printed off there. Just Google prep access options, and there should be an awesome little guide there with all the questions you need, because it is a bit of a process, and it sort of sucks.
And do you find with medical practitioners they're pretty up on ways to get PrEP, or they seem to have no idea?
Well, unfortunately, if you don't go to one of the high caseload in the city clinics, the gay clinics.
The three main gay clinics.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that,
three or four.
Yeah, the ones that most of us go to. If you don't go to one of them, and there's a huge population that don't go to them, you are out of luck. I mean, such a huge amount of doctors, especially GPs, who aren't really connected in the field of HIV, will have no idea. And unfortunately, I had a friend in regional Victoria who, something as simple as going for an STI test, and he got completely judged, shamed, saying that you're a burden on the taxpayer. And I'm thinking, that's just awful. Wow. Imagine if he went in asking about PrEP, asking for a way to protect himself from HIV. Unfortunately, there is a lack of education out there.
So, though, to get it online, you still need a prescription.
Yes, you need a prescription from a doctor, and the only doctors that can prescribe it are doctors that are registered for that particular type of drug. So they're the doctors that deal with people living with HIV. Again, those are the doctors in the high caseload gay clinics in the inner city. So that's who you need to go and see.
And there have been some trials as well, haven't there?
Yes, there are the people who are lucky enough to be in the Vic PrEP trial, which has been going on for about a year now. Right. And so they get it at a subsidised price, and they get it guaranteed.
Now, given that if I was going to be going online, I can only get, as you said, a 3-month supply.
Yes.
And I need a prescription. Then, therefore, I would be seeing my doctor every 3 months.
Absolutely. And this is the beauty about PrEP, is that if you go on it, the requirement of your doctor to be able to get your repeat prescription and to continue on it is that you have to get tested for everything every 3 months, including your kidney function and all of that, all of the associated tests. And so we're going to be seeing more and more guys testing more and more regularly. And so despite them being on PrEP and perhaps having more unprotected sex, by unprotected sex, I mean sex without a condom, because sex on PrEP is still protecting yourself from HIV. We're going to be seeing more and more guys testing far more and more, because the average amount of testing, I think, from the last periodic survey is maybe once a year, once or twice a year. And then we're going, and as health policy goes, or as health theory goes, the more you test, the shorter the lifespan of the STI, therefore the less people who can get infected. And then we're eventually going to see actually STI rates fall, because more and more people will be testing more.
Only 17.9% of people had STI tests, three or more STI tests in a 12-month period.
Yep, absolutely. And that's horrifically small.
Yeah.
We should all be getting tested every 3 months. It's your duty.
And 38% of men who did the periodic survey in Melbourne last year did not have any HIV test, at least, in the 12 months prior.
That's huge.
It's massive.
That's terrible. And the thing about PrEP is that you're regimenting your sexual health. You're taking charge of it, and you're actually putting rules on it. Like, that's the thing.
The requirement, that, as you said, was for all STI screening.
Yes.
Plus other functions, liver functions and kidney functions. And
yes, all of that.
So
I know, it's fantastic. Whereas we see people who are on condoms saying, oh, I wear condoms most of the time. I only have to get tested once or twice a year. And that's where complacency comes in. We all really need to regiment our sexual health, our lifestyles and everything, and then we're going to see STIs disappear.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Tim Little and Andrew the Apprentice with you tonight. Although I'm the apprentice, I think.
I've been the apprentice for about 4 years, I think. So we'll see how we go.
And we're joined by Stephen Spencer, who's talking prep with us tonight.
Hello.
Stephen, you're a fairly self-confident young man.
Oh, I dabble in some self-confidence.
You put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah.
And putting yourself out there means that you can get hugged or you can get slapped.
Absolutely. Luckily, I get more... Or the only slaps I get are usually on my butt.
He loves it.
Again, putting myself out there. It's usually putting my butt out there, but that's fine.
Talk about some of the hugs first. What's been happening on, particularly social media, I'm guessing, but probably out and about as well. What are the hugs you're getting from other gay men?
I get a lot of praise. I get a lot of people saying that the work I do is very good, and I take so much pride in the work that I do. And I get a lot of people telling me that they really appreciate what I do and whatnot. But the stories that really get me, I mean, I'll give you one story. I was having a bit of a rough time with some online trolls and whatnot bothering me when I had an article on ABC News. There was a lot of stuff from outside of the community, so just a lot of strangers saying a lot of pretty awful things about me and to me. And I had someone who I led on a university camp years ago, and so he's been sitting on my Facebook for a long time, and I won't name him. But he said to me, he said, I was recently diagnosed as HIV positive, and I haven't told you yet, but everything you've said to me, everything you've put out there, everything you've done has inspired me to make myself a better person, and thank you so much. And he just said thank you, and I just broke down in tears when I read that. And those are the sorts of things that just keep me going. Like, no matter what people say, or like, you know, how people nitpick things, that the wordings I use or whatever, at the end of the day, as long as I'm helping people and people are really taking away, just getting that takeaway message, it just means the world to me. It's so incredible when people say that.
Is there a way that you can't not take it personally because they are attacking you and you're putting yourself out there and you're showing a part of yourself and making yourself vulnerable?
I, as you guys and many of the listeners probably know, I'm completely shameless. So, so if people have personal attacks on me, I don't take it at all. I mean, to call me a slut, it's just like, you know, what? that's such a nothing thing. The only times I will take it personally are if people say I'm irresponsible, or if they're saying, oh, what you're saying is dangerous. I sort of step back and I say, you know, look, let's talk it through. Because like your commenter said on your earlier Facebook post, you know, saying it's a dangerous idea or it's misrepresenting information. It's like, no. Everything I say is based on evidence. The evidence is all out there. I might use a lot of colloquial language so that people can understand it better, because that's the main thing. We've seen a huge disconnect between health professionals and professionals in the sector sort of dictating to people how to talk about things, and it hasn't really stuck. And so we're seeing really a community-led movement in understanding sexual health, and that's sort of where I've tried to come in, sort of translating things. And people have taken it really well, and the only times I get flack are from, you know, the professionals who say, no, you have to say it this way. And I said, well, no, people aren't listening to that.
Yeah.
But you are getting slapped around by the non-professionals, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, a bit. But, I mean, you know, one of the comments I got, again, on the ABC article was, if you don't want AIDS, don't be gay. And I was just like, oh, honey. It's just you don't take you that almost personally. Laugh at that.
That's more likely from outside the community, I guess.
Yes,
though.
Absolutely.
What about inside the community? Are there people, even in your social network, perhaps, who go, no, I can't, I don't understand, I don't want to take PrEP?
Absolutely, and I totally get where that opposition comes from. And a lot of them feel quite they have to feel like they must be defensive because it is being talked about so much. And there are a lot of people who don't want to go on PrEP and sort of they're sort of you're either with us or not with us dialogue out there, or at least a perceived dialogue. I sort of want to come at it inclusively in that there's no hierarchy in the way that you protect yourself. You should just be applauding yourself that you're protecting yourself. So whether it's condoms or PrEP or abstinence, I'm sure that there are still people out there who practice that, and good on them. I wish, oh no, I don't wish I could, but I mean, if I was in your position, I wish I could be happy about it. And that's fine. And so there's no reason to shame each other over the way that you choose to do it.
Yeah. For the guys, I mean, I was noticing you were born at least out in regional New Zealand.
Oh dear. Oh no, that's on. We're on air. You can't tell people that I'm from New Zealand.
You've written it. You've written it.
Yeah. Oh, my secret's out.
So, and as we were saying before, for those of us lucky enough to have some sort of level of engagement with the inner city, shall we say, mm-hmm. Access to PrEP here in Melbourne at least is dependent upon probably living within a few, you know, 30K of the city, mm-hmm. at the most. What do you say to the people who are listening outside the city who don't get access to the sort of services we do here?
Well, that's the great difficulty. I mean, all of our public health campaigns here are so focused on on this community, on this inner city gay community, because it's sort of the magnet, it's the mecca or the ghetto, if you will. But we forget that there are so many fags out there in the suburbs and regional Victoria who we really need to communicate to. And that's a really catered message, because there are a lot of people who don't want to identify as gay. So we use the men who have sex with men label. There are so many guys who don't read the gay press, who don't listen to the show, who are very difficult to communicate with. And sort of with that, I think the state government and other agencies, other than, say, the Victorian AIDS Council, who look after a lot of that campaign work, really have to start targeting the non-identifying men who have sex with men population, because it's really difficult to contact them.
To a degree, I reckon it's changed, though. I would have agreed with you more 5 years ago than I would now on that, because I think nowadays at least you've got Grindr and Recon and Scruff and all that sort of stuff where messages can be put.
Yeah, totally. And that's good. And we need a sort of education is the key. And a lot of people sort of poo-poo that like sort of stuff. If you've got PrEP, you know, this anti-HIV pill coming up on Grindr, a lot of people might just ignore that or say, you know, I wear condoms most of the time. And it's like, no, we need you to read this message.
And in terms of the community, you were talking about how you've received feedback from people outside of the community and inside the community. What about from people like and organisations like VAC and Living Positive Victoria? What has been their feedback on the work that you're doing?
Well, I owe the world to those two organisations. They've helped me so much. I've tried to help them so much. The people involved in those organisations have really helped elevate me, and that's the beauty about this community that we live in. It really truly is a community, and that we really build each other up. And if you're really inspired by someone like there are a lot of advocates on an Australian and a global level who inspire me so much, and all they are is a Facebook message away. It's really incredible. Everyone is so within reach. You know, you can call up the CEO of VAC or a Living Positive right now and have a chat with them if you have an issue. And they have been largely very, very supportive of the messages I've been giving out. I mean, I base all of my information on the information they provide, because it is up-to-date, cutting-edge information. I really don't want to misinform people. But at the same time, I'm also very lucky to have an independent voice in that I can sort of talk about controversial things such as bareback sex and the politics of it all and deeper questions that we really need to think about rather than talking from an information pamphlet, which is sort of what those organisations have to do.
But one of the hardest bits is, as you said, there's still condoms, there is now PrEP, there is other forms of risk minimisation.
Absolutely.
The difficulty is, how do you get all those messages together?
Well, they don't necessarily have to be given all together. They do need to be presented as the tool belt, which is the sort of the term that we use. But you know, they are all very different things. I mean, you sort of need to look at people, you know, the vast majority of people are happy to have sex with a condom, and that's fantastic, and we can tailor messages to them. But then there are also at-risk members of our community who choose not to wear a condom, and sort of that's where we need to target messages of, well, there are, you know, there are strategies around undetectable viral load, of pulling out, and then also of PrEP that they need to take into account. Yeah.
I think that's about it for tonight. Steve, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, guys.
Was there anything major that we missed out on?
I don't think so.
I have one more question. Yes. One more final question. What do you see as the way forward in making PrEP available on the PBS?
Well, I would like everyone to go into Google and Google Victorian AIDS Council change.org PrEP PBS. There's currently a change.org petition out there, where we're hopefully going to put a little bit of pressure on the federal health minister to either fast-track or ensure that PrEP is put on the PBS. What you also need to do is talk to your family members, tell them how important this is to us, talk to your medical provider, tell them how important it is to you, or even if it's not important to you, know how important it is to the whole community and how this really is a vital part of our strategy towards ending new HIV transmissions by 2020. We've got 5 years to do it. A lot of people are wearing condoms. They're doing their bit. There are a lot of people who aren't. They need PrEP if that's right for them.
Thank you.
And Living Positive Victoria and the VAC have got heaps of information. Get along to their websites.
Absolutely.
In particular, as we mentioned before, the PrEP Access Options document is, you know, quick, short, little how-to guide, or talk to your GP, particularly if you're in the inner city.
Absolutely.
Stephen Spencer, thank you so much for joining us here on Hide and Seek. Tim and I will be back to wrap things up very shortly.
Bye. You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.